Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. This is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, John Robinson, psychologist and author and minister, will be joining us to talk about the three secrets of aging. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, Brenda. Thank you for asking. And I'm excited about this show, very much so. It's very interesting. I don't think we've ever had any kind of show like this, topic-wise.
You know, exactly. And I thought, you know, it's probably something that people are thinking, they're thinking about, but they would never actually broach. Do you know what I mean? But they do want to hear about it, you know?
I think it's going to be more profound than just how it sounds, but I think it'll be pretty cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Brenda, for having the show.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Tell us about what you do, honey.
Okay. I'm a, intuitive psychic empath. And I say empath with the strongest, of it all. I am self-taught in every way, and tarot is my main tool. And I do believe the tarot, I don't use that word, but here I go. I do believe the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And the reason why is because of all my studies with it. And I help people clarify their choices and whatever I'm picking up on and help them go that direction that might be the best for them. And I really, really enjoy my work. It wasn't what I picked. It was my work I'm supposed to do. And so I am for real. And I work with everybody else here. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Maureen. And in your words, you are a true authentic.
Thank you.
Steve, how are you doing this evening? How was your holiday?
It was nice. Thank you, Brenda. Very nice.
Did you get snow there?
No, we very rarely get snow.
Oh, interesting.
It's very rare.
Yeah, we got snowed in Nevada.
Did you really?
Yes, we felt like the Donner Party. Our dog was looking pretty good to us. So tell us about what you do on Psychic Access.
Well, I'm a psychic medium, Brenda, and I'm interested in all forms of metaphysics, particularly Hermetic astrology. I find it really useful for understanding a person or any entity, such as a business organization or even a project, and really useful for the accurate prediction of events as well.
Well, thank you, Steve. And I know that you're really an avid, you know, seeker, you know, all different forms. You know, we're anxiously going to await some of these astrological projects that you're on as well.
Yes, they're full, one of them's really full on this week.
Oh my goodness, we're going to have to hear all about it. Okay, now Bobby.
What, Brenda?
How was your holiday?
It was good. It was, you know, it was relaxing. Not a huge time, you know, but very nice, of course. Yeah.
Don't you love it when you just kind of get away from everything?
I do. Yeah. I cherish those moments, actually. I like being in the middle, but then when I'm done, you know, and then it's time to just kind of get away from it all. And yeah.
It's also weird to have a day that you don't give readings, right? Well, tell us a little bit about what you do on Psychic Access.
Psychic medium, and then hosting the show with all of you as well. Tuning into a client's energy, say, and being able to see maybe the best direction that they need to head into. Sometimes we need to know what the next step is. And then also a medium, which means tuning into the other side, loved ones who have crossed over.
And I can personally attest that he's fabulous at it, having had him as a guest at my spiritual salon for a couple times already. And more to come, more to come. I mean, I'm going to hit you up for your availability this year.
That's great. Thank you, Brenda.
And then that leaves me, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I work with all you lovely people at psychicaccess.com. Okay, without further ado, our guest tonight, John Robinson, is a clinical psychologist with a second doctorate in ministry. He's an ordained interfaith minister and author, husband and father, which started writing books about psychology and spirituality in midlife. When he started to age, he sensed that growing older continues the same unfolding transformation of consciousness that has begun with midlife. More than that, he realized that aging itself offers the highest levels of spiritual realization, and that if we understand and surrender to its powerful energies, we can gain a lot of inner wisdom and peace. His book, The Three Secrets of Aging, describes these energies as initiation, transformation, and revelation, and he argues that they are intrinsic to the natural aging process. Moreover, as advances in medicine and nutrition and public health increase, and the lifespan, the average lifespan by nearly 30 years, he believes that we are now witnessing the unfolding of an entirely new stage of life. With the hope of making his vision of aging more accessible and more fun, he wrote Bedtime Stories for Elders, What Fairy Tales Can Teach Us About the New Aging, drawing on 10 old and new fairy tales from around the world, and he invited older folks, just like himself, to discover the three secrets of aging in symbolic parables. You can find out more about John Robinson, his practice, and his written works at www.johnrobinson.org. Good evening, John. Welcome to the show.
Brenda, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Boy, we had that snafu. We tried to have you on before, and we were all so disappointed.
I think my energy may have short-circuited things.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you've definitely found, obviously, some sort of fountain of youth here, you know?
Yeah.
And I was saying to my co-hosts, it's kind of a subject that people always think about. They want to know more about, but they're almost afraid to broach this subject. So I'm really, really, I would have to say, date myself. I'm real stoked to talk about this tonight.
Yeah, for so many people, it's either too scary or too depressing or too far in the future to think about. And so you ask somebody, what do you think about aging? Their eyes glass over and they kind of look away. But it comes toward us as a profound opportunity for personal and spiritual growth that if we can just begin to open our hearts to, will change our way of life forever.
That is something that I think that really helps a lot of people, because they tend to get depressed when they think, oh my God, I have all these aches and pains,
yeah,
and I'm getting older and all that kind of stuff. What inspired in the beginning to write this? Was there an incident that happened personally that inspired you to write these books?
Oh, yeah. So here I was in my mid-50s, clinking along as a clinical psychologist, probably working way too hard, seeing 10 or 12 people a day and so forth. And then one day my heart gave out, and it just kind of gave into what's called atrial fibrillation, where the top chamber races too fast. I went to the emergency room, and the guy said, well, you need to be defibrillated. That's with the paddles to the chest. And so he shocks me. And over the next few months, and actually next several years, I began to re-experience body memories of an open heart surgery that I had when I was 14 as a kid to correct a congenital defect. This re-experiencing was so intense that after about a year and a half, I said, I can't work anymore. I can't work and get well. So I gradually closed out my practice and left the field, and it was an enormous change for me. Looking back
on
it, I said that it was also a tremendous gift. My time in psychology really needed to end. My what I had learned there was finished. I needed to go forward, and so what I did was I went back to school, went back to a doctorate in ministry, and was an interfaith seminary and was ordained. And I've always been interested in spirituality, so it gave me a chance to explore all these sort of untapped or unfinished interests of mine and to really come back and reinvent myself. These are the kind of opportunities that happen to us.
That is so interesting. When we're going like 50 million miles a minute, and we're killing ourselves with work. You know, the universe has a way sometimes of just throwing that monkey wrench in there, and then you've got to stop. You've got to take a look around.
It fits into your body and makes you pay attention.
Exactly. So you talk about a little bit about the baby boomer generation and, you know, what differs between their thoughts of spirituality and the spiritual development going on today. What are your thoughts on that, about the baby boomer generation and how they differ from today's spirituality?
The boomers have always been very spiritually oriented, and the seekers. I mean, they were fascinated by Eastern psychology and all sorts of New Age kinds of practices and belief systems. And so they're coming into aging now with this great optimism that, like everything else, they can overcome it with exercise or attitude or diet or anti-aging creams or whatever. And I think one of the problems is that when you're between 65 and 70, you still feel so good you think it's going to work. And then somewhere down the line you realize it doesn't work that way. You really do have to deal with aging. So I think the boomers are profoundly interested in this process. It's just that the view we have of getting old is so grim, based on, you know, hundreds of years ago when you really did drop dead in your midlife years, or maybe in your 50s, if you even got that far. And in any case, if you got that far, your life was miserable. Now, my gosh, we live until, if you reach 65, you've got a good chance, like a 70-80% chance of getting to 85. And the question then is, what do we do with all these extra years? Do we just sit around and you know, wait to get old, or do we get to ask ourselves much more profound questions, like, what is being asked of us here? What is the gift of these years, and what is our new purpose as spiritual elders in the world? This transforms everything. It transforms aging from being just old people, and old people aren't necessarily enlightened. You don't get wise just by getting old. You have to do this inner work. But if you do the inner work, it suddenly gives your life an entirely new focus. You get to leave the rat race of the middle years and, with vision and wisdom, see a different kind of world and a different kind of opportunity to serve the world. So it's really pretty exciting.
I really like that. It's almost like a return to the old ways, where the elders were respected for what they knew.
Yes, yeah. You know, we've lost sight of the value of elders, and we've lost sight of the initiation of elders. We you know, in indigenous tribal cultures, you know, you initiated adolescents and you initiated elders so they could more easily move from their roles in the middle years of hunting and providing and child rearing and so forth to these more wisdom roles of the later years, and it helped them cross that line. They became closer to the ancestors, closer to the spiritual world, and they had a new purpose in their lives. We need to do that again now in this culture, because we're so youth oriented. We've forgotten that the latest technology does not bring wisdom; it just brings more information.
It absolutely doesn't, and we just push our elders off and forget about them like they're a burden, and you know, but they've lived so long, especially if you think about like someone who grew up in the 30s, perhaps was even born in the 30s, what they've seen from then to now, and all the things that they can, you know, impart to us. You spoke about different ceremonies and rituals and stuff, and I really don't know what's available in the man-made religions, but I know that in some of the earth-based religions, they still do, especially for women, what's called, you know, at age 60, what's called the croning or the wisdom stage. And, you know, I'm all for bringing back something like that. You have to be celebrated for at least making it to 60, don't you think?
Well, yes. And I think women have always been a little bit better at taking care of themselves than men. But I think for men, it's really about coming together as men to share this experience and to talk about what it feels like to give up identity and purpose and all that stuff of the middle years, and begin to question more deeply, well, why are we still here? You can't do it alone, but you know everything is changing. And so what we really need are kind of rites of passage that honor the changes that are already happening and help men find their new gifts. Because, you know, you're born in the world with a whole set of of important and really divine gifts, and then you open them at different times in life, particularly around midlife. But then later in life, you've got another chance to open untapped reservoirs of consciousness, of wonder, of service. It's just that we feel so thrown away that we don't think we have anything left to give. So, but if we learn how to initiate each other as men and to provide and to see each other's gifts and talents and creativity, then this kind of ritual occurs almost by itself.
Now, do you yourself put together like support groups or any type of rituals?
Yeah.
Not necessarily rituals or tools that people can, like in your books, that people can, you know,
sure,
kind of ascribe to discover all this stuff?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, the material I put in my books is to explain what's happening, and then the community needs to create forms of blessing that help people, men and women, come through these stages. What I've done in particular is to bring together older men into groups so they can begin to mentor each other, to teach each other, to learn from each other what this new stage of life's all about. What I did personally was that in going to school and the Interfaith Seminary, when I finally was ordained, the ordination process was so profound because here I was once a psychologist, now I'm a minister being blessed for an entirely new kind of vision, and it was so beautiful to be standing in front of, 100 or so family, friends, colleagues in the audience, giving a sermon about what mattered most to me, and then being seen. These are the critical elements of initiation into elderness, and I got to experience it. So I'm trying to help other men and groups come together and do the same thing.
That is really wonderful. What do you feel about these, like the Freemasons and the Knights of Columbus and all these associations as far as like, places for like retired or elder men together? Do you think these are supportive for some of these types of rites of passage into aging?
Well, Brenda, that's a good question, but I don't really know enough about them to answer it with any kind of real authority. The thing is, they are rich resources for esoteric knowledge and community. Whether they move, how far an individual can move in consciousness through them, mm-hmm, really is what will determine whether they're real initiations. It's the awakening of consciousness. It's the beginning to dissolve the ego. It's not about me anymore. It's about this other consciousness that I dwell in. I'm in it, and as I understand that, I begin to experience the world differently. Any group that can support that sort of transition will be doing great work.
Now, do you feel that sometimes, like, people who are aging or getting older, that they resist kind of opening up spiritually and kind of fall back on the crutches of like, something that, they were told, some dogma they were told in the past, and it's hard to get through to them?
Sometimes. It really depends. I think we age as we've lived, and if we're rigid, then we're probably going to be rigid into our old age. And if we've always been seekers, we're going to be seeking into our old age. All we can really do is invite everybody to try to transcend their belief systems, because as you age, it's no longer about orthodoxy. It's not about what you should or shouldn't believe or what you think is going to happen. It's about living in the moment, in the present, in the presence, in a way that expands your consciousness. Then, then this new kind of spirituality bubbles up inside of you almost by itself.
I really like that, living in the moment. It's difficult to do, though, don't you think? It's difficult to do that because you're so conditioned to think, well, I got to think ahead, I got to do this, I got to get prepared, and I've got these plans, it would really take some control.
That's one of the great gifts of aging. It's hard to do in the middle years when you've got kids to raise and bills to pay and jobs to get to and a million things to do. But when you step away from that, and that's the first phase of this, when life initiates you into this different time of life, it slows down. You become happier. You become more aware. You don't have to race anywhere, really. And so you begin to look at the world as if for the first time, or perhaps the first time in many years. And you begin to notice how extraordinarily beautiful it is. You begin to feel new energies in yourself. And you live in the moment because it's so much more gratifying and joyous. It doesn't
And
become
live.
hard as much.
And so living in the moment could, push back a little bit, wouldn't you think, that fear of death, because
Oh,
you're not looking ahead towards that?
yes. When you live in the moment, what that's really saying is that you're living in a consciousness without thought, and it's thought that generates these terrible fears of death, dread about what'll happen afterwards, dread about what you've been told along the way.
Or your
But when you're
health.
just present, then, without thought, all this stuff dissolves, and you kind of step into an awakened consciousness that's not too concerned about death.
Okay, and do you feel that women are more apt to embrace this than men? Or do you think it's kind of even?
Well, I think it's just different. It's primarily different. Particularly with the retirement phase, I think women have been much more comfortable with multitasking, kids, school activities, jobs, changing jobs, so forth, where men have been more linear and single focused. And I think what happens is they become way too identified with who they've been. And when they retire, or when that is no longer relevant, it's a real retirement crisis for them. That's one of my missions in life, is to get guys to let go of who they used to be and trust that they will find out a whole new self that's been waiting to happen for 30 or 40 years. So I think it's luckier for men, but they'll deny it. An awful lot of guys will say, "How you doing?" And they'll say, "I'm fine. I play golf all the time. I've never been busier. I'm never happier." But then you talk to their wives, and it's not quite the same. They're running the household like a CEO, and their wife wishes they'd go out and find something to do, because they're really not in touch with themselves yet.
That's very fascinating, and it's so true because and I've noticed with some of my clients and family and stuff that when they get to that certain age, there are blocks that arise around them that actually prevent them from continuing to do what they used to do. And so they're almost forced to go into some sort of new identity or recreate themselves.
Right. And the problem is that so many guys try to recreate themselves in the old form. So they'll go out and they'll start up a new business, or they'll play golf as if it was a national campaign or something. And so instead of creating anything new, they're just recreating the past, and that only works for so long. And then depression kicks in, and it turns out depression can be a pretty useful thing, because it's a way your soul is saying, "Hey, listen, you're betraying me. This is not what I'm here for right now. It's not about accomplishment and ego anymore. It's about something else. And I'm feeling like you don't pay attention to me." So depression is an invitation for men to listen more deeply to who they are and to find this other way of life.
And is this all in your book, Three Secrets of Aging? All these little nuggets?
The nuggets about men are in a book that's coming out this year, actually, called What Aging Men Want. The Odyssey is a Parable of Male Aging, and you can learn more about that on my website, johnrobinson.org. But I took, Robert Bly did this great book from midlife called Iron John. I don't know if you remember it, but it was very successful, and men of my generation, just took to it like crazy, because it was a way of looking at how to find an authentic life. These same men are now in their 60s, and they're just, bouncing off the walls. They don't know what to do with themselves. And the Odyssey, this guy Odysseus has been at the war. And all men really experience life, and particularly work, as a war, whether they say it or not. And then he's trying to leave the war, and it takes him 10 years to come home, because it's not so easy. And every task that he addresses on the way home, these various fights and experiences he has, everything from the Cyclops to the sirens, are symbolic of the things he needs to understand in order to discover love, in order to drop back into a place where he can love without accomplishment. So anyway, so the stuff
Is that
about men is going to
self-love
be in
or
this
love of
forthcoming book.
family or romantic love or just the whole love, the whole feeling of love?
It's both. It's about being able to come home to the people you love without, needing to change them, without, needing to do anything else but open your heart. It also has to do with opening your heart to the universe, to the children, to your grandchildren, to the animals, to everything.
Without being
And
stressed out, like, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to make this
right.
money and all
Right,
this,
without a
like,
schedule. Yeah.
So
it's all
very
very good.
interesting. It's very interesting that what's going on now with the economy is almost forcing a lot of men to reinvent themselves because those high-powered, high-pressure jobs are no longer, well, they're dwindling.
Right, yeah. And they're no longer relevant to men anyway, to older men.
Right.
Men don't know. Right. Yeah, men are on a different path now, and they haven't realized that yet.
And what is that path, do you think?
Well, it's a path of learning. You see, we've been so one-sided. It's been about accomplishment and conflict and competition and conquest and overcoming, you know, and battling and all that kind of stuff. And that's the warrior's life. We've been trained biologically and culturally to be these warriors. So when the war's over, we don't know what to do with ourselves. It's that kind of struggle about how to come home from the war. And that's why I love this book I wrote, What Aging Men Want, because it's like what they really want is to learn how to come home, which is to love, to be peaceful, to be creative, to open up depths of creativity that they haven't paid much attention to because they were so busy, you know, fighting the good fight. When I was born, the lifespan was about my current age. So by about now, I'd be getting my golden watch, and a year or so later, I'd be dead. But I've got another 15 or so years. And so I have this wonderful chance to love in a way that I never had time for before. So it's just a wonderful space. So we need to help change men and women's attitudes about aging. It's not about grim. It's not about getting old and ugly and useless. It's about awakening consciousness. Aging is enlightenment in slow motion. You know, stuff, identity disappears, your mind slows down, you begin to wake up more. It's as if the stuff you had spent 20 years in meditation trying to accomplish begins to happen by itself in this new phase. It's absolutely extraordinary.
And it would benefit women to read this book about men as well, because they don't understand. I hear a lot from women like, oh, he's just sitting around the house and he's got this attitude and I can't deal with him. You know, once the men retire and, you know, they're sitting in front of the TV with a clicker because they don't know what else to do.
You're exactly right. And the thing is that women cannot fix men and women cannot, you know, solve this
problem. No, they can't, but they want
to.
You know that, John. They want to.
I know, it ain't going to work. Only men can fix men. I think that's one of the great gifts that all the guys need to learn. You know, when you're driving past Starbucks in the morning and you see a group of about six guys just sitting there in their 70s, you know, yakking away about stuff, that's where the healing is. That's where the real authentic masculinity begins to come forward again. They love each other. You know, whether or not they can say it, they would do anything for each other, and they don't want to fight. Men's groups, particularly older men's groups, are never about conflict. They're about friendship.
Companionship and doing things together and common interests in the good old days, right?
Well, the good old days, but also that run out of steam because the good old days are gone. And so one of the steps of initiation for men in these years is to move from dwelling on the past living in the present, and what they want to do in the present. And so many want to find. I have a friend who was a well-known religious leader for many, many years, and suddenly he's fallen in love with a horse. He found a cult, and he began.
Oh, that's so easy to do. Trust me, I have four of them.
Well, it may not be easy to do for a high energy, you know, compulsive male. But this friendship with this horse is completely changing him, because the horse doesn't care what he thinks. He's not impressed with him at all. So it gives him a new kind of an outlet.
That is really neat. I really love to hear that. And so what are these three secrets? Or have we been talking about them all along?
In effect, we have. The first one, initiation, is about this. The events and processes of aging, which are things like changing bodies, fading identities, and all sorts of losses, you're just not who you used to be, initiate us into a new stage of life unlike any other. And in effect, whatever shocks you into realizing that everything has changed is your initiation. It could be retirement or joint pain or senior discounts or new prescriptions or you picture your image in a photograph, which is kind of scary, but suddenly you get that everything's changed and that you have left this old world of middle-aged goals and competitive values for a completely new and unknown land, and you don't know what to do with it. And so that's the step one. It's like something pushes you across the threshold. You may realize that an old life has ended, but a new life is staring you in the face, and it's just amazing. So then comes transformation. Aging is a transformation of body, self, and consciousness. So the body part is obvious. You know, we look in the mirror and everything sags and looks different, and it becomes less and less important. But more importantly, we surrender, as we surrender this old identity, you know, my career, my schedule, my roles, my sense of importance, and so forth, the self also changes. And so no longer caught up with these accomplishment values of the middle years, we have the freedom to do something altogether different, what we want to do. So the growth possibilities of this time become amazing. Jung would tell us that the self, with a capital S, is constantly pushing up from the bottom like lava in a volcano, pushing for individuation, for us to grow ourselves in the way we were meant and spiritually intended to grow. And so with the new time, some men may get into woodworking, some men may read poetry, some men may want to study religion like I did. There's a whole range of things they can do that allow them to move forward and to grow a new self. But more important, or equally as important, with the dissolution of their identity and everything that goes with it, they begin to become more conscious of consciousness itself. You know, it's like you wake up and you become aware that you're aware. Well, the mystics from all the traditions tell us this is the beginning of enlightenment. And for men, when they don't have all these distractions pulling them down every odd road, they begin to discover that consciousness is not in them. It's there in it. And it is divine, and it is not their consciousness. So that kind of discovery begins to awaken the ability to see the world in a new way. So this is the transformation part. Everything about you begins to change. Your looks, your body, your mind, yourself, but in a way that is full of new opportunities. This is why we can't go back to the old model where we just ossify into a sort of rigid structure sitting on the porch in our rocking chairs. You know, there's a whole new adventure in consciousness waiting for us. And then the third stage is revelation. So aging is a revelation of a new and sacred world all around us. As we leave the rat race and slow down, we finally stop and, you know, smell the roses. We discover that the world is far more amazing and beautiful than we had ever had time to see. So this is why we begin to spend so much time with our grandkids and our friends and our pets and our garden and our world, because we just finally see the extraordinary beauty that's everywhere around us. And then the expansion of consciousness I've been talking about allows us to see the world in a way suddenly it's brighter and more beautiful and, in fact, kind of luminous and very spiritual. We discover that we were never kicked out of the garden. We left the garden as young men and women to make this life, which is the left hemisphere kicking in with all of its belief systems. And as that dissolves and aging, we move more to right hemisphere consciousness, which is, wow, this place is pretty amazing. And this place is infinitely precious. And I love the space I'm in right now. And so we begin to see that heaven on earth never left. It's always been here. In fact, I wrote a book about that, too, called Finding Heaven Here, where I listed like about 100 folks from across religions and eras who said to us very clearly, heaven is here when you're awake enough to see it. It's not just in the next world. It seems to be the best kept secret on the spiritual path because nobody pays attention to that. If we realized where we were, there'd be no room for fighting. Nobody would need to fight. But this is the kind of coming home that men and women can have at the age if they're willing to work on themselves. They'll find a world that is already divine and spectacular all around them that opens their heart naturally. You just can't help but love it.
So tell us about all these written works. Now, the book, your book, The Three Secrets of Aging, now that's already out. Is that available everywhere, yeah, right? Amazon, John Hunt Publishing, or...
Right. Yeah, it's available everywhere: publisher, online bookstores, regular bookstores, and the book Bedtime Stories for Elders about what fairy tales can teach us about the New Age. That's also available right now Finding Heaven Here has been out for a few years. The new book, What Aging Men Want, will be out in a couple months.
Are you going to go through John Hunt for that? Are you going to be going, is that same publisher? Or?
Yeah, he's the publisher for that too, yeah.
Oh, good. That's a great publisher. That's how I found you, because I'm an author on one of his authors, so.
I know that. So I think we're all on the same page for the possibilities of the, of his company, of really supporting
the authors. Oh, definitely, definitely. So, now, as far as like resistance and people, you know, because there's so many people, I mean, they get so caught up in their day-to-day living, and living in the moment is such a big challenge for people, especially as we get older. I hear people say it all the time, and you're right. If you live in the moment when you're like young or middle-aged, people are going to think you're nutty because you're not in touch with reality. Don't you believe the amount of freedom in getting older, there's just a whole new era of freedom if you just kind of look at it that way. Even if you do have responsibilities, you have a lot more freedom on different levels, don't you think?
Well, yes. I mean, you the empty nest is actually a sense of a place of freedom. So suddenly the kids are taking care of themselves and their kids. So you have all that space. When you finally leave the workplace, you've got all that space. The great gifts of aging are the sense of freedom now to do things that you never had time for before. I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, I think freedom and...
Was that a senior moment? Oh, I never say that, no.
Yeah.
Even that within itself, you know, we become a little more psychic women, I think, in our wisdom stage after 60 and... Even as we're in our 50s, I think we just get so fine-tuned. As a psychic, I can, a psychic in my 50s, I mean...
You don't have to try very hard.
Pardon me?
You don't have to try as hard.
Oh, no,
you know?
It's automatic.
Well,
it's like breathing.
You don't care what other people think as much. You know, the importance of your ego gratefully disappears a lot. So, you know, I don't care what people think. I just know what I like, and I know what I can do and what I want to do. And so you have this great sense of freedom and imperturbability, you might say, you know? There's more diversity in the aging population than at any other time in our development. You know, so the range of attitudes and bodies and interests and aptitudes and so forth is wider than any other time in our lifespan.
And you know, now that you mention that, it's really very profound, because the younger set, they're always trying to be in the same trends together, do all the same kind of stuff that everybody else does.
Right.
So the individuality really comes out once you don't care about what people think about you anymore.
Exactly. Individuation is just another word for eccentricity. You get to be anything you want to be. It's a wonderful freedom.
So, what are some of your messages that you would give somebody who's really fearful of this next stage, and say they're living alone, and say that they don't have many friends, and how would they reach out and start to, you know, experience finding their new enlightened self, you know, their aging enlightened self?
It's so, you know, you can't do aging alone. That's just one of the big lessons. You can't, isolation is just one of the most dangerous things when we get older. So it's like when we get older, friendships become our new family. I mean, yeah, the kids call us and we're with them at holidays and we do various things, but friendships become so much more of what gives you the love and support through these years very often. So I would encourage people to find each other, find other people, whether it's at senior centers or in clubs or book clubs or online or any place, but get together with other people and start sharing your experience. And you want to do all the different kinds of things that are growth promoting, from meditation to looking at your dreams to going into therapy. There's no reason not to be in therapy in your 70s. I mean, Freud was an idiot because he thought that people got rigid and didn't do anything new in their 70s. And Jung understood that this is a time of the greatest individuation.
So, okay. Well, we need to pause for just one moment, 1 minute for a commercial. We'll be right back, okay?
Yep.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we were talking about a little bit about not being alone and, you know, when you're going through this whole aging process and what would be the best way for people who are living alone and kind of abandoned by their families. And it, you know, it happens so much. I remember with my husband, and when his mother was retired and she was by herself because she had been divorced for many years, and it was always such an effort for everybody who was busy to come by and see her. And yeah. You know, what would have helped her, I think, would be to have friends, and she had none like that. And I think in many ways that contributed to, you know, her state of health, don't you think?
Oh yeah, isolation breeds depression, breeds illness. I mean, these are the immune system. It's a downward sequence of agents, and it's just not, you got to have friends. You got to reach out to people. That's the most important thing in the whole world. I think one of the things that we have a lot of misconceptions in our middle years about how it's going to be and how we're going to, you know, our kids are going to be around all the time and we're going to be, you know, having every Sunday with them and blah, blah, blah. They're too busy. And they have their own life. And we have to ask ourselves, did I do that with my parents? Did I come over all the time and brought the kids over on holidays? You know, I helped out when I could. But, you know, it's kind of a shock to an aging person to realize that that's not where the future lies. And even your grandchildren who think you walk on water are going to get to an age, become adolescents and have their, see you for 10 minutes, be glad to see you, and then get in the car and drive away. You've got to find a new life for yourself, and that involves friends. And new outlets. Join a quilt circle. Join, you know, take classes and things at the junior college, so that you can begin to, you know, have creative outlets. The self still wants to express itself.
That is such great. I hope people listening to this really take note of that, because, you know, there's so many people just, you know, and then they just get sucked into the TV, and that's their whole life, you know.
Yeah, the TV is so hypnotic, and you actually think Brian Williams is your friend. Wow, but it's not going to work that way.
So, the wisdom stage for men and women, what is? So we talked a little bit about the definition about what it is differently, and in defining it. Like for the men, do you feel it's mostly about finding their identity and their purpose, and no longer being the warrior that they were? But what is your thoughts about women? Would you think that it's something about, like, they have to find something beyond nurturing, or is it nurturing themselves?
Yeah.
What would their focus be?
Yeah, I think you know, like, men's tasks have to do with this overcoming or letting go of this conquering, questing business. Women who tend to be, at least historically, more caretakers and comforters and so forth, get kind of caught in that, and in their aging, wish they could do something else but keep being drawn back into taking care of the grandkids or you know, always fixing Thanksgiving dinner or something or other like that. And they become, the risk is codependency. I mean, this is what's expected of me. I don't want to disappoint anybody. I got to do it. It's always been my job, blah, blah, blah. And they don't make space for themselves. I think a women's group would be great for any aging women, whether it takes place around the closing thing or just as a peer group or as a spirituality
or the Red
group,
Hat Society.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? They're doing something, right?
Yeah. you get to complain to each other about how the kids don't pay any attention, and you find out everybody feels the same way. And so
or how they've come back to live at home at 35.
Yeah. Well, that's that part, too. But they're not coming back to see you.
It's kind of sad. I want to add, though, that there every city has women's clubs, and they're very supportive. They do a lot of altruistic stuff.
Now, the risk here, volunteer work is good for people, but it's, in some sense it's overloaded because the impression from AARP and other places is that everybody should do that. And it works for some people, and it doesn't work for others. And if it's not working for you, it's important. You don't feel guilty about that, but ask yourself, well, what would make me happier?
Right.
Maybe I want to write poetry, you know?
Maybe or do stained glass or something.
Yeah.
And so what do you think about the role of pets during this thing? Like, I mean, I see a lot of older people, they end up getting, they've never owned a pet before. They get an animal companion after they retire. And you talked about your client with his horse. This is all part of it, right?
I think pets are wonderful. I think pets are wonderful. I think they extend the life, all of our lifespans, what pets do. I mean, it's, you know, first of all, because it's another being to relate to, and it really is a relationship, and it really is communication and love. And secondly, because it gives you something to take care of, to care for. We, you know, there's research that says, you know, you put plants in elderly people's rooms in retirement communities and tell them they're responsible for them, and they begin to pick off the dead leaves and put water them just right and fertilize them. And if, you know, we all need to be engaged in life. To be warehoused is the worst thing in the world. So pets, plants, caring for other people, these are the ways that we stay vitally involved. Eric Erickson, a wonderful psychoanalyst, his last book was called Vital Involvement in Old Age, and that really says it all. You don't pack up and go. You stay involved.
The gardening would be probably something really awesome to do, especially like organic gardening. I know my father got into that when he was older. Organic gardening. He got into gardening. He was growing things.
Yeah. Growing things is wonderful.
It didn't always turn out, but most of the time it did.
It's not the outcome that's the love, you know, the process. But, you know, we always have to keep discriminating. Am I doing this because I said I would, or because I should, you know, because I said I'm committed, or does it genuinely make me happy? Do I do it because I can't not do it? I like it so much. So we, you know, all along we have to, because your interests change, and so you do something for a couple of years, and then just because you've been volunteering at the church for 2 years doesn't mean you have to do it for the rest of your life. It may mean that that your soul is calling you to another kind of activity.
And how does a person find that? I mean, that is a question I always get. You know, I really know I need to be doing something, and I really want to do something, and I don't know what it is, and can you point me in some directions, and this and that. And then when you see something, they go, oh, no, I can't do that. Like, perhaps they're afraid to do it. It probably has to be something that they feel comfortable with to begin with, right?
You're so right. We are our own worst enemies around this. We want to do something, and then we quickly say, oh, I couldn't do that. And it's like writing. Writing is one of those wonderful things older people can do, because it's not a big physical task. And you write your memoirs, you write poetry, or you just write.
Or journaling, even journaling.
But no, exactly. It's not hard. And they say, oh, I couldn't write. I'm not able to do that. That's you write, I don't write. And that's just not true. So we just need to keep lulling people into doing things like that to give expression to themselves. You know, you can also, there's a lot of wonderful journal exercises that you can do to find your passion again. You know, look at the stepping stones of your life, for example. Do some historical work and take a look at where in your life you felt most excited, most, you know, most creative, most enthusiastic. Enthusiastic is a word that means being in God. So it sort of means that inspired, almost cosmic sense of I love what I'm doing. When you look at two or three of those times, you begin to or look at the people that you've admired in your life and see what they were doing. These are all hints at your own latent talents or abilities or callings that you still have plenty of time to enact.
You know, so it could all come full circle. You could be doing something in your youth you really, really enjoyed and come back to it in your elderly years.
Yeah, there's a lot of unfinished creativity and more. And so that's why a group is important, because your best friends will say to you, hey, look, you know, get off your ass and do it. That's the fun.
That's good. I like that. It's true. A lot of people need that kind of kick. You know, they need that kick in the butt to get them going, because they don't have confidence in their abilities to, oh, I can't do that. I could be a failure, blah, blah, blah. But you only are going to be judging yourself.
Right, right. And it can't come from your kids, because you don't believe them anyway. So it's better that it comes from your friends.
Yeah, you're not going to believe you won't believe your daughter. You won't believe your family. It's just like kids not listening to their parents. I mean, if it comes from anybody else, they'll believe it, right?
Right, yeah, much more likely.
I don't like to call it the elderly stage. I'd like to call it the wisdom stage. And I really think that, what do you think about that? That's more, it's got more dignity to it.
Oh, yeah, but you don't get wise just by being old. You've got to do this inner work that transforms you, that transforms who you are to this new kind of person. So, you know, elders might think, well, I'm supposed to be wise, but I don't have anything to say. You know, that's because they really haven't cultivated their own inner garden. They haven't nourished it. So getting in a group, there's a lot of groups about that have to do with reminiscing and personal growth in the elderly years. And I would say join one. At the first one you can find in every big city, I'm sure you'll find them, because they're becoming more popular. Then you have an opportunity to do all of these things: journal exercises, dreams, regular exercise, sharing your story, and you'll come back to life. Then you'll be wise. That's when you get to be wise.
Well, you can only hope that if you live so many years, you've got to learn something. And, you know, the wisdom stage, I know in some belief systems, especially in the earth relief systems, is supposed to be a teaching stage. So,
yeah, it's a mentoring stage.
Mentoring, teaching, the whole bit. So there's just so much more that they have to give, but they just don't realize it.
And, you know, and many people really do want to mentor. They just don't know how to get started and who might want to receive your mentoring. And, you know, it's hard to find a younger person who's not so busy that they say, would you like to spend some time? And they say, I'd love to, but I don't have any. So you have to kind of cultivate these mentoring relationships with people, you know, just by paying attention to them, asking them questions, expressing interest, and little by little, you know, all of us needed guidance from older people. We just didn't know how to ask, didn't know we were allowed to ask. So this building bridges between, you know, the older folks and the middle generations is so important. It's easier to do with grandkids, because they have already a conspiracy with grandparents. You know, they're all breaking the rules together. But middle-aged people don't feel like they have a right to ask.
And so, finding these groups, how would one find, get in touch with these groups in these big cities? Are they like, you know, community like centers
community centers, senior centers, probably mental health centers as well, schools, junior colleges. Just Google, you know, there's a wonderful rabbi named Rabbi Shachter Shalomi, who wrote a book called From Aging to Saging. And he has dozens of exercises in there that people are now using more and more in these kinds of senior center groups. Art is especially good, you know, because we become young again when we become creative. So, you know, it's they're out there. Just don't give up and start. The worst thing you can do is put it off.
Flop down in front of the TV and sit on the couch.
Yeah, shoot the TV. Not your friend.
Shoot that TV. You know, well,
yeah.
Well, you know, this has been so fascinating, and you know, I feel like we could talk about all this stuff forever and ever. But first, before we end the show, I'd like you to tell the audience about the names of all of your books and where they can get them, and you know, because you have one that's upcoming. Could you tell us about your written works?
The place to get all this. Yeah, the place to get this information is www.johnrobinson.org. And the books that are most relevant to aging are What Aging Men Want, Bedtime Stories for Elders, and The Three Secrets of Aging. The ones before that are also wonderful, and they had to do more with midlife themes. My first book was about men at midlife, and anyway, so it went on from there. But you'd be able to read about each of them and see which ones you like and what you're drawn toward. JohnRobinson.org.
And so what are some of your plans beyond your writing? Do you have these support groups that you put together now, or do you teach classes?
I'm about to do a webinar on aging through the Creation Spirituality Group on the East Coast. So that'll be available. I'll probably put that on my website if people are interested. I'm starting a group through a local church for aging folks who want to do this kind of work, inner work, and discover what aging can be all about. But it's so funny. As I move into this stage and go deeper into this consciousness, I'm not as ambitious as I used to be. I kind of feel like...
Isn't that interesting? I like to hear that. Yeah, that's interesting, and I've noticed it too.
Yeah, I don't really care so much about that stuff. I think maybe I've written everything I need to have written. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just at a quiet time, or feel like I'm sort of on a little rowboat, kind of flowing down the stream, and I'm just content with what is.
Well, you have to realize one thing, though, John. You yourself are a mentor.
I am. I
you're
love
mentoring,
that role.
You're mentoring this wisdom stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this has been really awesome, and I'm so glad that we could connect with you this time. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Brenda. It's been a real pleasure. We had a lot of fun.
We did.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okie doke.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. But first, if you want to find out more about John Robinson and his books and his upcoming events, you can find it at www.johnrobinson.org. And be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show and get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number later, not right now, so don't get too excited. So be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on Egypt. Wait a second. Okay.
Brenda,
thank you, Maureen. The holidays got the better of me. I don't know. I had a senior moment. On the Ouija board. You'll find it in our archives and a recorded archive link, as well as the archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share the link with others. And you can find just about any subject that you can imagine there, to further your enlightenment. And be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, and each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic and gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations that are required of each of us. And you can talk to all of us here from the show too. If some of us are on, I know myself will be on after the show. Because we're all psychics here at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading, we would love to hear from you. By the way, all site owners and webmasters can learn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is definitely something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number when we're ready at the end of the show is, and I'm sure Maureen will put it in the chat room for us, 724-444-4851. Well, you guys, what did you think about our guest?
Had me in tears.
It had you in tears? Why did it have you in tears?
You know,
she's very sensitive.
Yes.
I want to hear this because, you know, it was very heartfelt for me, too. Go ahead.
Someone's echoing. I know it's not me. Maybe it's, now it's Bobby. Okay. You know, he was talking about, I know I talk about this a lot because I'm just not over, I'm just, I don't know when I'll ever stop being sad. But in the holidays and stuff about my father relocating, you know, to heaven. And it's just taking me too long to pack to join him because this girl's packed so much. But you know, when I was listening to him talk, I even advise people when I'm talking to them, you know, when I give readings, it's so important about having a community of friends where you feel a sense of community, especially because it's like you said, they become your family, friends, or a sense of community is basically what I'm getting at. But for me, my father became that really close friend of mine. Not until he was, you know, I didn't like him. He was such a generous man, lovely, and we had a great lot, you know, very well-to-do life. But it wasn't that, and I always appreciate, but I didn't get him so much. But it wasn't until he was in his 70s when I chose to move out and take on the responsibility of just kind of hanging out because they were active. But the fact of it is, he was a person that I would go to and talk about. But he was a businessman anyway, you know, entrepreneur, and he gave me... It was a sense of feeling. It was a sense of his wisdom, like, you know, your guest was talking about. It was a sense of all that, and for my daughter as well. And when he left, it was like that was no longer, and I went to complete isolation, real bad still. And I can write, I can do this, but I do the work I do. But, you know, a lot of it's always inside nowadays because of the technology. I have friends like you guys. I've met everybody here on the show, all of us co-hosts. But, you know, mostly, you know, the work I do is just on the computer, and I'll sometimes not feel like I want to even interact with anybody anymore. It's gone into a pretty emotional isolation thing.
Well, we're giving you the official kick in the butt to get out there and socialize. And
but he brought up good points about that. I mean, really, because – and he talks about elders or people like that. And I want to feel – you know what it was? I always – and I shouldn't define this, but I need to feel needed. And when, since my father – it's not for my daughter. I don't – I'm fine with my daughter being doing her thing. That's okay because she's doing fine. But my father, it wasn't like a tormenting need. It was like he needed me to talk with business and you know, type up his, you know, financial things for, because he was still in the biometric, whatever. That made me feel like, I don't know. It was like
you were needed and you were involved again.
Yes, and he respected me, yes.
Yeah, it was like our guest was saying, that's what women need to nurture. They need to have something.
Yeah.
After that.
It happened to be my father of all people, but it's just like, the thing of it is, it's just like, and then there's a part of the grief stuff going on, but still, I've become very isolated, very, and I'm very, I recognize it. That's even, I'm very honest. I don't deny very well. I don't know any river in Egypt. Sorry.
Well, then we're going to have to just get you out and about.
No, I'm just expressing myself very honestly. I'm not looking for a pity. I'm not in a pity party at all, really. Don't get me wrong. But he brought up some good things, and it did bring a bit tearing because he was talking about the wisdom of elders. Listen, and my father had a lot of wisdom, and I enjoyed that. Yeah.
It makes you feel guilty about, you know, like maybe not calling your parents, you know.
Well,
try to keep in touch with them and all that.
So. I was by choice the caregiver, but I was the caregiver. My father was, you know, he was not in a bad way for many, many years. He was, you know, whatever. He took me to business meetings. I had a great time. He thought highly of me. But it is important, everybody. Community is so important to nurture that. Because sometimes we don't have family, but nurturing and doing things. And I, you know, journaling, everything. I really liked your guest a lot. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Thank you, Brenda. Yeah, it was hard.
You're welcome.
Felt.
What about you, Bobby? Did that strike some chords with you?
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with, you know, elderly people for quite a while. They're actually just up the street from me. You know, some people may know. I think you guys know that I'm also a professional singer. And I go up the street, there's an elderly home where actually more people are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's, memory loss, things like that. And I sing once a week for them. And it's so important to, like what Maureen was talking about, a sense of community and making these people just know. You know, sometimes they don't have families that come there and such. And music, I think, just gets through to everybody. You can have somebody who's just completely out of it and they're tapping their toes, you know. So it's a really great way, and I think Maureen also hit on it when she said she likes to feel needed. These people want to feel like they're a part of something, you know. There's some countries that have such regard for moms and dads and elderly and, you know.
And cultures.
And cultures, yeah. I mean, it's...
We've lost that here in the United States. We really have. We throw our old people away.
Have none of that.
Disgusting. It's disgusting.
It's really a shame.
But I don't do that nervous, Bobby. I've seen you sing. I saw some videos of you singing, and they looked so happy. You're right about music, though, Bobby.
Do you do Elvis? Can you do Elvis?
He does like the... He does.
Thank you very much.
Tidbit. Back when I used to live in Vegas, I actually won an Elvis impersonation contest.
Oh, that's so awesome!
Now, obviously, you know, before my plastic surgery, I didn't look anything like him, but but I won first place, and then not disqualified, but had to win second place because I wasn't dressed like him or looked like him, and they felt silly having an Elvis contest and not giving it to the guy who dressed like him too. But I won completely for voice of Elvis. But I do Elvis and Neil Diamond and Sinatra and all the 50s.
You put on that jumpsuit, that white jumpsuit with a cape. I love that.
Don't you do the Bill Murray, like, remember the Bill Murray Saturday Night Live when you get out there, hello, everybody, and you sing a little bit of everything? Well, maybe no one remembers that, but that's what Bobby, I think it's kind of like, you know, the Frank Sinatra and the, you know, the, you know.
A crooner.
No, he's fantastic. He's fantastic.
Well, I haven't seen him sing. I'll have to.
Oh, there's a video. I saw a video of it, Bobby. You have some video. It's like
Star Wars. You know, Bill Murray sings Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Bobby does.
What about you, Steve? What did you think about our guest and what he was saying?
I thought he was a really great guy. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm in my late 30s, but I know that in the last year, particularly, my priorities have changed. And I just feel that as we mature, we have a much better perspective of what's actually valuable. And I have stopped chasing my tail and actually chosen to be present and to really enjoy each day and to look at things hermetically. So to look for the golden opportunity in everything, even if it's something that most people would consider as adverse, like not having any money or feeling unwell one day. And I have a huge amount of respect for elderly people. My best friend's 93. She's a French lady. She's a very, very good friend of mine. And when I was a kid and in my first relationship, I was always accused of socializing with older people. And because I find the wisdom, the knowledge, the experience, the perspective far more truthful, far more spiritual than a perspective that often comes from younger people. I have to say, I find that there's so much change right now, and that I find that I can sit with somebody that's in their 90s and really connect with them and really admire them. And equally, with the kids that we have here now, I can interact with a 6-year-old and really get spiritual and intellectual stimulation from a 6-year-old, because I think that there are so many special children with very special energies being born into the world, but it's often some of the groups in between that I find it more challenging to connect with.
That is really, you know what, that's interesting, because the young ones are still so open to, and in like all these universal energies and spiritual energy, they're more like godlike. And as you get older, you're almost entering into that phase again, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
You pick up that energy. Yeah.
I have to say to you, I'll make you laugh though, because in the States, you don't, can't really go anywhere without a car. And I often feel sad in the States, because I remember my friend Maggie, who's 93, came from Paris. She flew over here at 93 with her leopard skin pants and her Gucci shoes. And she came to stay with me. And one day we went out to get some fish. And, you know, in Rouen, you would walk 10 minutes down the streets from your house and you would buy your fish and chat with other people, the locals and neighbors, and you'd walk back and you'd make your fish. And we went out, it was a 4-mile drive to buy some fish. And she said, oh, I just couldn't live anywhere where I have to drive 4 miles to have a piece of get a piece of fish. And she said, and anyway, what would I do when I can't drive? And I do think that just the sheer size and geography of the US is wonderful, but it's quite a divisive factor. You know, I have neighbors who I recognize them from a distance when I see them drive into their garages and the doors, the electric doors closing. But that's all. I don't speak to them or interact with them because the properties are at a distance from each other. And I feel that in the US particularly, having a community of people that you connect with is very, very important. I'm not saying that everybody in the UK and in Europe has wonderful community. You can be lonely wherever you are, but it's just the US is far more isolated because of the size of it. And I remember laughing when I moved here and I said to my friend, where are the old people? Because you don't see them anywhere. I still laugh. Where are the old people? What do they do with the old people here? Where are they? And I love the fact that Bobby goes and sings and interacts with people. And I really feel that your guest gave such important messages about the need for community. And I think that regardless of age, we need community. We need like-minded community. But particularly as we do age, it's very important to stay connected, because I think if we become too isolated, we can become fearful. And
then things could happen, like those shootings and all that other stuff and bizarre things, because you're so isolated.
Well, I think I've been studying those shootings this week. I'm doing a big criminal project, or working on a big criminal project, looking at really severe mental illness and mass murderers and things like that. And it's very, very interesting. But I'm not saying that, you know, people that get lonely go out and kill people. But I don't believe, well, some of us are more introverted than others. I'm quite introverted, actually. I enjoy being on my own, but I need to interact with other people. I think that you have to interact. We are meant to have interaction in some form with others, and it's a real need. And I think that he gave wonderful advice, and it was a real different show. I think
it was different. But you know, I think things happen for a reason. You know, because we're attracted to these different things and subjects that we end up bringing onto the show because somebody needs it. Somebody needs it.
It was a really, really valuable discussion.
It was, and I liked what he said about how men and women both age and all that. It makes so much sense. I can see it with my husband, because my husband's, you know, he'll be 60 in a couple years, and he's in a real quandary about what do I do next? type of thing, you know? And finding groups and people and community could really help him. I'm gonna get the book for him. I'm gonna give it to him. He's gotta read it.
Sounds good.
I know. Well, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Well, Maureen, any other thoughts about that, our guest, well, and what
yeah,
you were
you know,
hearing?
Yeah, you brought up something interesting, Brenda, about your husband and everything, and he's, you know, that's not too far away at that age, as you know, for me.
Yeah, he's cussed.
For and you. But the fact is, you guys, you know, this is the way I always will go back in my parents, because they were together for 63 years. And the fact of it is, what the deal is, well, suddenly she has her mate gone, or my dad, whatever. But, you know, they were, my father never wanted to stop his business, his visionary business dealings. So that was something, that's why I think his mind was so sharp, because he didn't desire to retire. He couldn't sit on his butt doing nothing. He had to put deals together, and people would come to him. Till he was in his 80s, he was still on the major biometric board of directors. So, you see, in addition to that, my mom, he was constantly optimistic and active. So I think that when you're with a couple, it's a lot easier than if you're alone. And so you're aging together as a couple. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, you know what? A call has come in for you, Maureen, from Texas.
Oh, well, that's just something. Thank you, Brenda. Hello, Texas. Nope, they're not there anymore. Well, Texas, please call back.
Well, maybe put the number out again.
And you could maybe say it out loud. Some people aren't in the chat. Yes. I'll put the number out. So I'll do that right now, but you can say
okay,
it out loud.
Okay, yes. The number to call in for a reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number for your free reading in the second half of the show is 724-444-4851.
Okay. Texas is ready for me. Hi, Texas. Hello, Texas. Big Texas, a big place to live. I know they're there. Hello, Texas. Maybe I should sing. Can I sing it? Do you have a song, Bobby, for me to sing about Texas? No, okay.
The moon is bright.
Hi, Texas. Are you there? Okay. One more time. Texas.
I'm sure that song brought him in.
I think it did, Bobby.
I can hear something.
Hear echoing. I know. Why, Brenda, would mute you? It's not something. But I don't hear. You know, well, maybe they're just waiting. Thanks, Brenda. I think they're just waiting. He's there. Okay. Hi, Texas. And I would like to say my name is Maureen, and what can I help you with? And. Texas? Okay. All right.
Maybe we should move on.
For some reason, we're not able to hear them.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Hi. Hi, Texas. What's your name?
Carlo.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Carlo.
Okay. And what can I help you with?
Well, we're... looking at relocating and, you know, applying for jobs out of the state. Just wondering, you know, how does it look like as far as...
Okay. So you said I assume you and your family or your couple.
Uh-huh.
Okay, got it. And so you're looking at with the big change. Okay, and... relocating and even out of state, you know,
yes.
Which I think is fantastic that this is a time to do so, because what was going on around you, whatever it is, time to go. Okay. You know, you know, what's been going on? Are you working at this time right now in a situation where you don't
working. Like? We all have jobs, yes. Uh-huh.
You can't stand, it looks like there's this, it's just not, everything is just too much burden on everybody. It's like, it's a mess. But I feel that, you know what, in the next 2 months, this is what I'm getting. I feel that
next
there's going to be like a juggling act going on. You're not clear, because right now I can see there's so much energy that isn't all that good for where your married wife. And where you're at, it's both situations are very, very disturbing. And I does that make sense?
I mean, it makes sense.
It's just too much. I mean, it's just so much. It's like, run. You don't walk, but run. So I think it's a very good thing, but I do feel that it kind of, there's so much burden on each of your backs, which you shouldn't be carrying. But I do feel within the next 2 months that there's a juggling. I see somewhat of a juggling. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're juggling something, I know part of you gets sucked into the negative. You know, you get used to the negative. And I think you need to flee, not flee, but I think it is time to go. And you can pull it off, but you'll get a feeling like you can juggle the situation for a little bit longer. Don't do it to yourself, because I feel that the opportunity, there's some trip I see that will be delayed. And I feel that it would be, the way I read is this. You can make a choice, and every negative can be a positive. And I also am saying a trip within the next, so like I'm saying within the next 2 months, I see a change, an opportunity, but within the next 6 weeks, I could be off my time frame. I see some trip that may be delayed, and I'm saying don't delay it, because I think this trip would, wherever you're, it's a short trip, would give you some insight of where would it be an opportunity for you. Somebody I see is not pursuing a school situation, maybe your wife. Or like it's learning, it might be an unconventional type of school or training, more training in some area. And I feel that would be great. Within the next 10 weeks, you know what? The timing's going to be really great. I feel that, I just wish, I want to tell you something so much. I really want you to know that don't be indecisive about leaving. It is time to leave. It's not healthy, but I do feel there's going to be a choice. And I say risk, jump into it. It may feel like it will be risky. Don't go. Don't listen to that. Well, you can listen to it. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying not what to do, but I'm feeling like if you don't jump and risk something, there won't be a lot of support system saying, oh, you should do that, because this situation, I don't know exactly what it will be, but I do feel like within the next 10 weeks, there's going to be something that will be like, you know, it takes a breath out of you because it's kind of scary, but you're anxious and you're wanting to do something interesting. But this will be like people would say, oh, don't be a dreamer. You shouldn't be thinking that's just not stable. Jump on it. Risk and jump. And I see a really new beginnings and change for you both. And you can pull it off, because if you don't, you'll be stuck where you're at and you won't, you know, don't be so indecisive. Try not to be. The timing, you know what's going on here. Finally, I think it's long overdue. The timing will be right. I see you heading towards, if you do choose, it'll be an opportunity where I see you getting more acknowledgement, where someone, not so much, no one else is getting the credit. You're finally getting the credit where it was deserved before. Well, right now you're not getting that. I see some really positive things ahead, and the timing is good within in the next 10 weeks. But if there is a short trip to be had that you need to go check into something, don't delay it. Go for it.
Sounds good.
If that helps.
Can I ask one more thing? Which direction of the country you think?
I say northeast. I don't know why, and I could be wrong. Northeast. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Northeast?
I don't, it came out of my mouth. I don't, you know, I could be wrong. If that makes any sense.
It's
a lot better where you're going to be at now, let's put it that way. Okay? So, there you have it. I hope I helped you, and don't delay this. Go for it. It's time. You're right. You know it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you, Maureen.
Sure. Thank you.
That was a good. Okay. I'm going to give the number out one more time. And I want to remind people that when you do call in, just to stick to one question, you know, so that we can focus on that one question. And the number is 724-444-4851. So I guess we're on to talk now more about all this stuff. I don't know, myself, about aging, and I fight it, you know, maybe it's my vanity, but I think most women do, don't you think, Maureen?
Well, Brenda, you know, I've been talking about that lately, and if I had I have been really, you know what? I don't feel other women, like I look at you, Brenda, I look at Ren, I look at everybody else, and they're beautiful. It's not like, but when it comes to me, I have an issue with not, because I'm in a downer place, but I am having a rough time with myself. And I think it's because of my state of my, you know, like what's going on, like I said. So, you know, I know I'm eccentric. I know I'm always going to be quirky, and I know this is going to be the way I am. It's just that I shouldn't look in the mirror. Is what.
Maureen.
Yes.
I wanted to say to you, I find it quite amusing because, you know, in our work, we find out that everyone feels that way, or nearly everybody feels that way about themselves. I've always felt that way about myself, and I remember once doing a. I attended an event, and there was a meditation. There were about 400 people there, and we're all sitting in seats. I may have told this story before. If I have, forgive me, but it's relevant. So we're all sitting in seats, and we were all taken into this meditation. So everyone had their eyes closed, and the meditation was horrible. It was all about our insecurities, being aware of our insecurities.
Oh, that's terrible.
The meditation, well, it was fascinating, though, because it was very, very important. Oh, Doug's saying we've got a caller from Pennsylvania. So,
and it's for you, Steve.
Yeah,
go
I'll take
it.
The call, and then I'll finish the little story later
we
on.
We want to hear.
It's really cool. Really, really cool. It was actually an excellent meditation.
We're going to hear it. We're going to hear it.
Yeah. Okay, who's calling from Pennsylvania?
Hi, my name is Brianne. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Sorry, I didn't understand your name.
Brianne.
Brianne, how can I help?
Yeah, I just want to see what you think about my love life at the time being, where it's going.
Okay. Well, I feel it's almost gone full circle. I feel that you're with quite an assertive and strong, impressive character. And I feel that in the beginning it was all, oh gosh, it feels like an orchestra. I feel like I'm watching an orchestra play. It's wonderful music and environment, and it just feels like everything one ever dreamt of. And then I feel that it really turned around and became very disappointing. And I'm drawn back to May of last year. My guides take me back to May.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I feel for you because, you know, gosh, if we go into a relationship and it's just okay and then it turns out to be disappointing, then we're disappointed about something that was okay becoming disappointing. But it's like it was this huge orchestra, this huge dream, this wonderful manifestation of love. But yeah. Now it's a big disillusionment. And it's partly because you look for the best in people, and you do in a relationship wear rose-tinted spectacles. And you're a smart girl. You're a very smart girl. You're very bright. I've got terrible allergies today. Honestly, I would never tell you what to do, and spirit would not tell you what to do. You have to make your decisions. But
yeah,
I feel like you should. I don't feel like you will stay in this relationship. I feel as though it's gone sour. And I feel not only this disappointment, but I feel almost as though I've not been deceived, but I feel like, you know, when you buy something and you realize it doesn't do the job it says on the label and you take it back, it feels a bit like that.
Yeah, he just recently brought me home to his family for Thanksgiving. He asked for some space recently.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, my guides are saying to you, give it to him. I know that sounds blunt, but I feel disappointed for you. And I feel that he's inconsiderate. And I'm being very kind with my words. My guides are saying, give him space. Give him more than he wants.
Do they know why he really, truly wants his space? And if he misses me, and when we'll get together again?
The answer is very clear. The answer is very, very clear. You are in a more superior league spiritually and in many ways, and spirit are forcing you to take the path you're meant to take. I feel that you'll go your own way, and I feel that you will find that dream. I really do feel that actually quite soon you'll find a wonderful relationship. But I feel like you need to just move on.
Okay, do you know how he ever felt about me? I mean, he brought me home to see his family, and seems he's ever moving too fast for him.
He's got feelings for you, but you have to... Mm-hmm. It's like comparing the level of sentiment that an angel would experience with the level of sentiment that a lobster would experience. Unfortunately, you can't expect him to feel things at the level of depth you do. He just doesn't feel things that profoundly. He's nowhere near as sensitive as you. So he has feelings for you, as much as he can have, but some people are never going to be as sensitive as you are or as other people may be, and so they can never satisfy you emotionally. And it's not their fault, that's just the way it is. And what it means is that I don't feel that he can give you emotionally... I don't think he can give you what you need and deserve. And I feel as though you sort of brushed that under the carpet at the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah.
I know it's really hard, but you need to move on with your life. There are wonderful things ahead of you.
I'm going to try to do this again.
Tarot cards for you, and they're fantastic moving forward. But you've got to move forward. Okay?
Will you try to do this again and try to contact me and be with me?
I feel that he will, but I don't think it will be for a while. And I hope that you're not interested by then.
He's hoping.
I hope that you are not interested by then.
Oh, I don't thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
That was very compassionate.
It's hard, though, isn't it? I mean, the relationship stuff's so hard, especially when somebody's so sensitive. But we sometimes wonder why a person doesn't feel things for us as we would like, and it's often not that there's something wrong with us, it's just that they're not capable of feeling to that level of depth. They don't have the emotional intelligence to feel things so deeply.
Well, you know, because you're into astrology, that certain signs just don't, they cannot ever feel the depth. Like a Cancerian is an extremely sensitive sign, but if they're paired with somebody intellectually, like an Aquarius, that Aquarian's never going to be able to feel what they feel, you know? So there's a lot, and plus I feel we tend to project what we feel onto people, and they should be feeling what we're feeling too. Do you know what I mean? So anyhow, we want to hear your story. Inquiring minds want to hear your story.
Okay, Steve. Well, so all of these people were sitting doing this meditation, and they were taking down this meditation around how lonely and isolated they were and how they were standing in this streets and there were lots of people around and that they felt inadequate and they didn't feel beautiful and they felt that everybody else was superior. And it went on and on and on. And basically, you felt like crap by the end of this meditation. You felt all of these things that we fear, all of these things that we worry about, like I'm not as attractive as others and I'm not as good as others, etc., etc. And it really broke you down. I mean, I was crying. And then the facilitator said, now open your eyes. And so people were opening their eyes. And what they saw was a room of 400 people feeling the same way, crying. And what they realized was that everybody feels that way, pretty much. And it's actually laughable that we feel that about ourselves and isolate ourselves in that way, because that's what everyone else is experiencing and is fearful of. So that all of those people that were surrounding you that you felt inferior to, you open your eyes and you see that they've all broken down as well, because they were fearing and feeling exactly the same as you were. And it's nonsensical for all of you.
That must have been very emotional.
Well, then everyone just started laughing.
You ended up with
this room of 400 people just in hysterics, laughing at themselves about how stupid it was for them to feel that way, because everyone else in the room was having the same experience.
That's a bizarre. That's almost like a reverse psychology meditation. What was it meant to break you down so you could open up again or something?
Yeah, but it's making the point that what you felt was nonsense, because it was all about feeling exposed and inferior amongst this large group of other people in the meditation, because you were meditating about being in a public space, you know, walking down the street or something and feeling like crap.
Oh, wow.
Others. And then you come out of the meditation and you realize that everybody else in the meditation felt like crap. That we're all doing this to ourselves when no one else is thinking these things. Everyone else is just deeply involved in their own crap.
I think every single person on Earth has their own deep insecurities, and when you face them, it makes you stronger. You know, so
it's the growth, isn't it?
It is. Well, thank you, Steve. We loved your story. And Bob, you have a question from chat. You got it?
I got it. Dee wants to know. Says she's ready and open for a new relationship. Do we see one coming? So I tuned in for that. I think you're ready for the most part. You're at least starting to look again, which I like. I know that you, like everybody, obviously has been, you know, was terribly hurt before. And it almost feels betrayal with some of that, to where, you know, when you start looking at other people, you're just like waiting for them to hurt you, or you don't even want to look at anybody right now. I don't even want to look at having a relationship and that type of thing. And I do feel at least you're starting to look, and I do feel that you're open to a relationship. But I think one of the things that is still holding you back is I can still sense a feeling of waiting for the other shoe to drop. In other words, still kind of looking, you know, you're interested in a person, and then immediately there's thoughts of, what if, or I hope that they don't, you know, again, whether whatever type of betrayal it is, or that they don't hurt you, or whatever, something like that. There's still just a little bit of defensiveness that I think that you still have. And it very much still needs to be kind of let go of. You've come so far already. Like I say, now you are putting yourself out there, but there's still just needs to be that extra step. You're like at 90% right now. And that other 10%, though, will completely limit you and hold you back, and you won't get the relationship. You get so close and then nothing, because you're carrying that around with you. And unfortunately, that 10% will draw to you somebody who will appear to be nice, but eventually will just kind of hurt you as well, because you're still focused on that, if you see what I'm saying. So you're more and more ready all the time. I think that with a little bit of focused effort, more of what it is, whatever it is that you've been doing to try to heal and get past this, I think you're kind of the person that just pulls up her big girl panties and moves on, you know, and you're ready just to, I'm done with this now. It's time to get going and move past this. And that works for you, but a little softer, a little more healing, with a little more effort. I think by March, it feels that you'll be ready. You'll be so much more open. You'll be at 95 to 97%, and that'll feel much more easy. And that's what you'll attract to you, is an easier type of relationship to you that won't be so tough. It won't make you guarded. It won't make you wonder. You won't have excess thoughts as to, is this going to happen? That kind of thing. So hopefully that makes sense, Dee. You're on the right track. Keep going the way that you are, right? And again, just to say, keep working with and healing from, and it's not just this past relationship. I'm seeing, like, even the one before this last one, or a couple of them, that you just working on that, definitely, by March. I think it'll go really, really well for you. I just feel you'll really be ready at that time. So there you go.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have a caller from Pennsylvania. Hi, Pennsylvania.
Hi.
Who Hello? Am I speaking to from Pennsylvania?
It's Joe.
Hey, Joe. What can I do for you, honey?
Chat room stalker.
Oh, I love it.
I have a serious question, and I'm not being facetious.
Okay.
It's a relationship, or a love life question. But right now, I don't really feel that I'm ready for a love life connection. But I have a very close friend that's been helping me so much here, and I just wondered how she fits into the picture.
Okay.
I don't know how she feels, really, and I don't want to disappoint anybody, and I'd like to know what you think.
Well, it's very interesting what I'm seeing here, because, Joe, you're a little bit sensitive, a little bit psychic, and I do feel that at times there could be a moment between the two of you, and, you know, what starts as friendship and companionship, you know, I wouldn't put it past this, that it could go to another level. There's almost like a little magic in this relationship, and I know you're afraid to ruin it by making some approaches or jumping the gun or putting the cart before the horse. But what I'm seeing here is that she would be open to, like, starting to expand some of your associations, like perhaps going places, even things that would be regarded as a date. Have you done any of that?
No, it's a little difficult. I could probably do that, but she is helps me with the housekeeping and things like that. And recently she helped me with a situation where I had to put my dog down, and she was, you know, much more the friend for that. And so I was afraid to you know, to clear the good relationship by, you know, asking her for a date or something.
Well, it doesn't have to be, coached in such a way that way. I feel that there's a doorway that, like, you could say, you know what, you were so kind to me the other day when, you know, I have to put my dog down. I'd like to repay you by taking you to dinner. Is that okay? You know, it's okay to test the waters with this, Joe, because I feel it's kind of up in the air. I feel that she, you know, likes you, regards you. She might even have feelings for you. She doesn't know yet, but I feel that it's a possibility. This isn't like a complete no, like a stop sign. I feel that it's got possibilities. And you might have to put yourself out a little bit, you know, and take a little bit of chances by saying, hey, would you like to go here and do this? And if she questions you, just say, you know, I'm just taking things easy. I like your company. That type of approach is what's needed right now, is what I feel. You could be surprised. Plus, I feel that there might even be another special pet coming your way as well.
Wow. I don't really feel like I'm ready for that.
Well, you know, it's going to be something unexpected. It's not right away. I feel that in the next couple months, there's a little soul that finds its way to you. And it's going to be a wonderful experience. And it looks like your friend who's helping you with stuff may share in that experience. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was interested in finding out what you felt about it, you know, what you perceived of it.
I perceive that it's got possibilities. I perceive that there's a sense of expansion around it, in which that it could open up. Is she close to your age? Is she a lot younger?
20 years younger.
That's okay. You're a silver fox, honey. Women like silver foxes.
Go.
Whatever.
He's Italian too, so you know, he's got an advantage.
Italians don't know how old they are, no matter what their age is.
I know.
My 9-year-old grandfather had a girlfriend.
Oh, what? Really?
Well, I mean, a friend. They went everywhere together.
Well, that's good. No, I feel that there's some feelings here. There is actually some feelings that could happen here. So,
well,
you know what?
I feel that too, but I didn't want to make it, make myself repulsive by coming on, you know, romantically.
You don't have to do that. You have to just be yourself, Joe.
Oh, no.
Be yourself. You know, she obviously likes...
That's the most frightening part.
Well, you don't want to show everything. Don't show your whole hand. But, you know, give her peeks of the wonderfulness of Joe.
It's the top three cards.
That's right. Well, that's what I see. I feel it's got possibilities. And I feel that your friend who passed away, you know, opened a door for you. Your pet who passed away kind of opened an emotional door for you.
He
was very special, wasn't he?
Yep.
Well,
it was completely accidental, but I was thrown in this place, and I thought it was terrible. But like you said, he became friends with everybody, and I became known as the guy with the dog. You know. And now everybody is looking for the dog.
He was a great icebreaker, wasn't he?
Yeah. He did a lot for me. Like, I used to have to take him out for walks and everything. And I think I would have holed up here, you know, like a hermit, if it wasn't for him. And we didn't have any accidents or anything because I took him for a walk.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, he's in a place, and he's around you in spirit, right?
I hope so, and I'm expecting to see him someday.
You will. You'll see him in your dreams, and you'll see him around the house. Any other questions?
Nope.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's always a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we had kind of a weird connection with the phone after that, but isn't it hard to lose a pet? I mean, I look at my greyhound and he's going to be 11, and I'm like, oh my God, every single second, every minute counts. And then I have an old horse down there, and I'm thinking, you know, every morning I get up, she might not be standing, you know. It's difficult. Do you have any pets, Maureen?
I did have I grew up with dogs, but I did have a pet, a cat that, unfortunately, it was for my daughter. She wanted one when she was little. I was allergic to cats when I got older. And so I got this cat and became more or less my cat, how it works out, you know. Mm-hmm. And the cat, I was told, was eaten by a coyote. It was awful. And I was so depressed and upset that I did not want to become close to this cat, but like I said, you know, my kid was young when she wanted whatever. And the cat, Willie, and when these kids told me he was eaten by coyotes, I was, oh, it. But you know what I've been told recently? Because it is my in-laws, whoever lives with their brother's in-laws and still talk to them and still like me. I did. I lived with my brother's in-laws in this really great place. So I moved out to San Diego. Anyway, the cat, I have heard years later, though, they said that they had saw the cat. So maybe it wasn't eaten by coyotes after all.
Well, they could have wandered off. Sometimes they're opportunists. So they find other places.
Yeah, but the cat was stuck. They wouldn't let the cat roam around the house. It was really, you know, because I lived in it, whatever. The cat's name was Willie. And but like I said, I didn't want a cat at all. My daughter picked him out. You know, he was born, watching me born. So I got, and then I go, I'm never again, because unless you're a psychopath and don't care, but anybody gets attached to their pets, you know, and it's just, I don't want to, you know, there again, isolating myself off, the same thing. I don't want to become close to anybody now, you know, or a cat or anything, because I'll be hurt, which is silly.
That's a silly thing. You should get yourself a little dog that'll
I know.
You.
And I did have a dog. I did a dog that was going to stay for a week, and it stayed for a year. A few years ago, these people wanted me for the dog stayed a year, and then the dog was gone. But it wasn't, and it was set, but it wasn't killed or anything. But still, and they say you live 5 or 6 years more. It adds to your life if you have if you're alone, if you have an animal.
Well, I know I was talking to Doug one time about his cat, because his cat is 17. I can't believe he's going to be a 17-year-old cat. Must not have any teeth. That's terrible. But he's of the same mind that I am. You know, like when one of them passes, I get another one right away, away. Because,
you know, you're right.
They're making space for another one, you know, and I believe that their spirit, especially cats, the cats walk.
Oh, I know. I remember Ghost Kitty. I used to have a friend go, there's a Ghost Kitty. I met years ago. I go, what? And it dawned on me. They would see their cat had died, a Ghost Kitty, a ghost cat or whatever. Wow. Paranormal ghost.
To the show right now.
Yes, I guess it is. Bobby, is it? We haven't heard from Bobby much. He's so quiet.
Bobby, you're being so...
Are you okay, Bobby?
I'm just listening to y'all chat.
I know.
We're chatting it up, but you know what? We are at the end of the show right now.
Yes, we are. Bye-bye.
The show just flew by.
It flew by, and it's a yet another wonderful show. We want to thank Doug, who works so hard behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. What do you have for us next week?
We have a wonderful lady called Mary Lamondo, and she is an Egyptologist, amongst other things. She's a full-blown Egyptologist, and she is growing again the blue lotus flower in Egypt. So that's one of her projects. but she has an enormous amount of knowledge, so it will be extremely interesting to return to Egypt. I know that's one of your passions, Brenda.
It is, and you know, I don't care about the political situation anymore. I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to be putting together a tour. I'm giving everybody notice. I'm putting together a tour.
Excellent. Well, do let me know, because I may well be interested in that.
That'll be awesome. Okay, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bobby.
Bye.
We want your goodbyes.